Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Today we're holding an open forum, so that's your opportunity to ask whatever question you may have for Marcos about how to fix what's going on in your marriage. So if you have some questions, something you're pondering this morning and you need some guidance, just give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon, your co-host, and here is your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia or anywhere in the world if you're listening online. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your mercy, God. And I pray that you give us direction and that your Holy Spirit will be with us in a powerful way as we really strive to help those relationships that are hurting, enrich those that are really striving to do even better, Father. And I pray in a special way that even those who are single would be inspired by today's program, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to go to our theme scripture. As Tiffany mentioned, today is an open forum, meaning that we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, okay? I love open forums because, number one, we just depend on the Holy Spirit. We have no idea where we're going because he is in the driver's seat. Now, he does give us the opportunity to really back in and bring it to God's word. And so let's go ahead and do that right now. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, it says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin." Now, we recently had a discussion on this topic, but we focused on the anger part. Today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about putting off falsehood. So as we have an open forum, and if you're listening for the very first time and you're wondering, what is an open forum? This is Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. Tiffany Bacon is here right next to me, and we are working together to take your calls and talk about marriage and relationships, okay? And it can be any question you want to ask. Now, we do want to remind you of two things. Number one, it is a gospel station and we want to keep it righteous. You'll be on the air. So use proper terminology, you know, be careful how you talk about certain things, but you can actually ask any question. Maybe you're afraid to ask that in your church, to your pastor, to your mama. You can call us and talk about that. And then secondly, we do want to just put in a small disclaimer that if you have little ones around, minors, you might not want them to listen to this adult conversation. Although we'll be tasteful about it, we will be honest and open. And so we ask you and invite you to give us a call, get in on the conversation, but to speak truthfully and honestly so that we can help you.
And the number is 855-454-5905. So we welcome your phone calls. Let's go right to it. We have Hezekiah calling in from New Jersey. Hezekiah, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you so much. You're our very first caller of the day. What is your comment or question for us?
All right. I've been married for a year and a half now. For a year and a half, we've been having a lot of intimacy issues.
Okay.
Where I don't think my wife is really attracted to me. And we're having a lot of issues where she would purposely avoid having sexual intercourse with me. There'll be excuses made, or something's always coming up, or, you know, one big thing is, you know, when her family comes home, she makes way for them, and then, you know, I'm like left there to dry.
Okay. Now, Hezekiah, a couple of things. So you've been married a year and a half.
Yes.
Now, was there any issue of attraction before the marriage? Did she ever mention to you?
No.
No?
I mean, we were great before the marriage. Just, you know, since we got married, it's just been like the spark has been gone. And okay. She told me multiple times that, you know, she's just not attracted. And, you know, she's just not feeling like she was.
Okay. Okay. And did that start pretty early, or is this recent in that year and a half?
I'm talking honeymoon till now.
Really? Now, did you was, and I'm going to ask you a more detailed question, but did you wait to have intimacy until your honeymoon?
No. I mean, well, we waited a short period of time. We did wait maybe 2 months and did it without, you know, getting intimate in any kind of way. We tried to avoid it as best as possible. We both are Christians. And,
okay.
You know, we struggle in that. But, you know, we do have our conviction, as does everyone else.
Hezekiah, we're losing you a little bit. You sound far. I don't know if you're further from the mic.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said that we waited 2 months before we...
So you dated for 2 months and started having sex. So there already that was an issue. So you had the honeymoon before the honeymoon. But it was, everything seemed okay until you got married. And she was attracted to you before, and then as soon as he got married, she just felt like she didn't have an attraction anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. And what about you? I mean, do you feel that way towards your wife, or you absolutely, you know, feel attracted and want to be with her?
I'm 100% attracted to her. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, that's who I want. I can't keep my hands off of her, but it's like every time I touch her, she's shying away from me, and, you know, it's like I can't really do, even if I flirt with her, it's an issue. If I pinch her butt or something, you know, little stuff like that. She's always moving, and she'll inch away, and she'll make it seem like she's playing, but I know how she, you know, she actually feels. So this is every time I'm doing it. So you're not playing every single time that I'm touching you.
No, I totally hear you. Hezekiah, I'm going to share a couple of things here with you. I think number one, it's very unfortunate, but there are actually a lot of couples that go through this, and there's usually a deeper issue. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that she married you a year and a half ago, she was attracted to you, and then all of a sudden she lost that attraction. There's something else, and usually there is. And I think it always goes back to the spiritual. Like, there's a spiritual battle going on. There's a passage I want to share with you. And I'm sharing it with you, Hezekiah, not so that you can use this against your wife, but so that you can see, number one, how spiritual this is. And it comes from the scripture that I'm referring to comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." All right, so Paul is trying to help the church in Corinth, and he's like, listen, you got to be careful. You got to help one another because Satan is real. I mean, what you're going through right now, as hurt as you are, if your wife keeps pushing you away, the temptation is going to be greater and greater to want to step out on your marriage because you have desires and you have needs. And so it really goes back to that. Now, if she's not attracted to you, like, is it just the physical, or is it something else? Is it the emotional? Is it, I mean, something at some point went wrong. And I don't know if you've been to counseling about this, but do you recall when it changed?
You're 100% right. We've actually been through infidelity issues because of this reason. So I know that has to be part of the reason why, you know, she acts or reacts the way she does. We've had infidelity issues, and we're currently working on that now. Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, this occurred, and we've been working on it since, receiving counseling and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't quite seem like it's really doing anything to help. I mean, you know, when, you know, I understand that, you know, she's going to need time to heal because of what happened, because of what I've done. But you know, I'm going based off of how she tells me she feels. You know, I feel comfortable. I want to move on. I want to work on the marriage. I want to do better. Okay, well, let's do better. Let's actually work on this thing. And, you know, my father's a pastor. He'll give me pointers. He'll give me advice. And he's actually pointed me to 1 Corinthians 7 and told me that. And, you know, I don't use that against her. But when, you know, when it's time and I feel like she needs to hear it, I'll read that to her just in a subtle way. I won't say it in a
aggressive
way.
I hear you. Hezekiah, if you could hold that 1 second, we need to take a very brief break. We're going to come back, and I want to have more conversation about this because you obviously have a desire for your wife, but she's not showing you that in return, and it's already caused some issues in your marriage. So we'll come right back. We ask you to please wait patiently. We just get a couple of minutes here for a break.
All right. Okay. And if you are not yet on the line, we're asking you to give us a call. We're having an open forum today. So that means if you have something on your mind about your relationship and you're looking for some advice from Marcos, give him a call at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are having an open forum today, so we're welcoming your phone calls. If you have a question you have a question about your relationship and you need some guidance, Marcos is here to assist you. Just reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We were in the midst of a conversation with Hezekiah. Let's rejoin that conversation now. Hezekiah, are you there?
Hezekiah, thank you so much for your patience. So for all of you who are just tuning in, Hezekiah actually called right before the break, and we were talking about his relationship where he feels like even though he's only been married for a year and a half, his wife doesn't feel like she's attracted to him anymore, and she's withholding sex. It's made him obviously struggle quite a bit to the point where he was even unfaithful, and then now he's trying to work things out, and his wife wants to work it out. But he seems to be stuck in that rut where his wife is just not having that desire to be with him. So, Hezekiah, thank you so much again for waiting, and thank you for calling. You had mentioned before the break that your father shared with you that very same passage from 1 Corinthians regarding, you know, making sure you're not depriving each other and the importance of being there physically as well as emotionally for each other in the marriage.
Right. He has before, and like I said, I did share that with her, and again, I didn't, you know, wasn't beating up on her head, like, oh, this, you got to do this, you know, I just kind of, you know, put it out there, and, you know, whatever she felt like she needed to do from it, you know, that was her, but I think she's put up a defense, you know, like, it doesn't matter, you know, what I say, she takes it as, oh, all you want from me is sex,
mm-hmm.
like, just keep asking me for sex, you keep asking me for sex, and now I feel convicted asking her for sex. I'm like, well, should I really be asking her as much as I am? And, you know, that's just, you know, that's a big part of me. I deal with a lot of insecurity issues that I've been dealing with now, trying to, you know, figure out how to, you know, really handle them and, you know, separate them from my marriage, you know, to realize when I'm being insecure and when, you know, I'm actually needing, you know, what I'm needing.
You know what, Hezekiah, you bring up a very good point, and I'm just going to share a little bit about my life, and I think it's not uncommon to go through this. It is a little bit challenging and alarming when you go through it so early in the marriage, because usually that's something that couples go through later or after there's a
right.
child, you know, someone gives birth. But there is an issue there, and I can tell you, in my marriage, it wasn't so much, I think, at a point where my wife just wouldn't want to be intimate, but I just kept feeling like I was the initiator and she wasn't. And so that became an issue. It's like, listen, I don't want it just to be because I'm asking.
Right. I
want to feel desired as well. And what it
right.
came to for us, I could just tell you, for us, it was that I didn't understand how to set the mood for her. Like, you know, men, and I've heard this expression before, it's like men could be like microwaves. It's very quick for us to be turned on. But women are more like crock pots, right?
Uh-huh.
And so what we need to make sure is that we understand that her being turned on is not right away the way it is for us, for men. So
right.
it starts, you know, early in the morning. You know, a good buddy of mine and I do a lot of counseling, and we talked about, you know, everything from the kitchen to the living room to the bedroom. Like, it, you know, it just it goes all the way, right? So if you
right.
you set the tone in the morning. Say, hey, honey, how's your day? I'm praying for you. Now, I'm not saying you're not doing this, Hezekiah, but
right,
I think that there is some kind of disconnect because the attraction, again, especially for women, it's not always a physical thing. It can feel that maybe that pressure. And it's something you might want to, you say you're getting counseling, you might want to bring this up, or you might even want to get counselor that's really going to help you, because if you're not seeing the results, you have every right to say, hey, let me find someone that's really going to help. But if what you're doing is not working, meaning she's not feeling that connection, it's going to be that much harder for her to be okay. So I'll give you an example. When we say intimacy, a lot of times men think sex. Women think, oh, wow, he's just being affectionate. He holds my hand. He loves me. But if every time you're affectionate or showing that it's because you want sex, then she's going to withdraw because she's like, here's the pressure. It's going to lead to that instead of just intimacy the way that she describes it, being close and not necessarily leading to sex. Now, with that said, that's still not an excuse. I mean, her responsibility as a wife is to love you and protect you. And she needs to figure out as well, saying, hey, I'm not attracted to you is not good enough. It's like, we got to work on this. If not, you're going to be calling a few months from now, a year from now, saying, hey, your marriage is over because you guys weren't able to work this through. So this is urgent. And I know you believe so. And I believe that's one of the main reasons you've called. But you're going to have to figure this out together. And it can't just be, okay, it's your fault in the marriage.
Right.
This is a two-way street. And what you're asking for is not selfish. You're asking something I told my wife. And I encourage you to tell your wife in the best way, in your own words. I said, honey, I'm not going to step out on you. I love God. I love you. You're the only one that can meet my needs. No one else can. And so she's got to understand that that's her responsibility to meet your needs in a way that no one else can and should not. Does that make sense?
Right.
All right. Well, Hezekiah, if there's anything else we could do for you, we'll love, you know, I would love to have this conversation even, you know, deeper and a lot more. Unfortunately, we just have a small window when we're on the air.
That's fine.
And if there's anything else we could do for you, I want my producer, Larry, can get your information and give you our info off the air. All right, Hezekiah, thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care. Again, our number is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Jim, also calling in from New Jersey. Jim, good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jim. I heard you actually have a comment for Hezekiah, our previous caller, who's talking about the intimacy issues he's encountering with his wife.
Right. Grace and peace to you all. I just wanted to say, basically, when and this is coming from a male perspective.
Okay.
When a man steps out of the confines of his marriage and commits what this is adultery.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Usually the violator is not sensitive to the one that's been violated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just hearing a conversation, it's not being sensitive to this woman, his wife. All right. Now, and I'm going to make this brief because I know you guys are on the radio. She needs to see him, number one, be godly sorry for what he has done. Now, I don't know if he has or not, but if he goes in this here godly sorry, that's the first thing he has to do. Mm-hmm. He has to humble himself.
Sure.
Because he was the one that brought the breach in the relationship.
Okay.
All right. Secondly, are they praying together?
Mm-hmm.
And since he's the one that brought the breach, he should be the one initiating the prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So if you want different results, you got to do different things.
Jim, let me just mention something, and I think you're absolutely right. I think you hit it right on the head. However, and I'm not saying that it's okay that he stepped out on the marriage. The way he described it, Hezekiah mentioned that the issue happened before the infidelity. So, and I don't think he was in any way excusing it. He was just saying, listen, it did lead to, you know, I did the wrong thing and stepped out of the marriage. But the reason, and I'm not, again, it's not the excuse, but the reason he gave into that temptation is because his wife wasn't meeting his needs. So That was the real question he had. It's like, what do I do when my wife doesn't want to meet my needs? She doesn't feel like she's attractive to him anymore.
Okay, so in response to that, if this was going on before they got married, all the warning signs was there.
No, it didn't happen before he was married. He said it happened before the infidelity. So it was fine. He got married. Then all of a sudden, his wife just wasn't interested anymore in sex.
So my point again is, the warning signs were there. All right? This is the thing. If he missed the warning signs, that's where he messed up, right there.
Okay, but what does he do now? He's married to her.
Okay, what I just said. Okay, if he made the breach, whether or not all that happened before, it's nothing you can do about that.
I hear you.
What you got to do now is what he's doing. It's obvious they still want to be together because they're still together.
Yes, absolutely.
If
she
wanted
her
out, that was her out when he went out and cheated.
Yeah, no. She wants to work it out. I just don't, without having talked to her, she's having some other issues that obviously he's not even sure what they are.
Okay, well, some of the issues are that, okay, you went out on the marriage. You had sex. Sex was the reason why you went out on the marriage.
Yes.
All right. Now, it's obvious to her, sex is more important than her.
Yeah. Well, and as a guy, I think you're right. And I really do want to say thank you. We're going to continue on with our calls. But I love the advice you gave that he needs to initiate the prayer more than anything else.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. Let's continue on here. I believe Mark is calling in.
Yes, we have Mark calling in from Pennsylvania. Mark, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mark. How's it going? Thank you.
I know y'all have an open forum today, and my question is, if a person gets married, he or she, and they continue, for some reason, they divorce, if they remarry, whether it be the man or the woman, in the sight of God, biblically, scripturally, are they considered married? Even though we know people do it, we've seen...
I understand what you mean. You're talking about remarriage, all right? So
yes.
I think it depends, Mark.
Is that person considered married in the sight of God? Does God recognize that marriage?
That's a great, great question, Mark. And that is actually a very debatable, highly controversial topic. I could just tell you my personal opinion from what I see in the scriptures. I think that marriage is absolutely for life. And one question for you, Jim. Mark, is your radio completely off because we're getting some feedback there? Okay, I don't know where that feedback's going.
Everything's off.
Okay, great. Well, and so to me, the way I see it in the scriptures, it absolutely depends on why the divorce took place. And so there's only one reason, biblical reason, for that divorce, and that's infidelity. And that's not infidelity on your part, but infidelity on your spouse's part. But other than that, then no. I mean, you're supposed to be with this person for the rest of your life until death. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Now, if the person dies and you're a widow, that's different. Like, you could absolutely remarry.
So if a person, even though if that person fathers infidelity, does that license the person to get another wife or another husband?
Well, who's that person? So you tell me.
I'm just saying from a biblical standpoint, even though you're right, those things do happen. But Paul does talk about reconciliation as well, with your wife, if y'all get back together. So that would be my question. Even though those things can happen, and it does happen, can that person still, does God still recognize that a second marriage, even if that happens?
All right, so let's break down a scenario, right? Like, because, we're talking about, different. So you're married, let's just say, for the sake of the argument, you're married, and you cheat on your wife, and your wife divorces you because you cheat on her. Is the question is, are you now free to remarry, or is she free to remarry?
Am I free to remarry?
I think absolutely. I would say absolutely not, but under this circumstance, if your wife wants to reconcile, but your heart is hard, and you say, well, I don't want to be with my wife anymore. I want to be with this other woman. Well, I want to be with someone else. I absolutely believe you're going to have to give an account to God for that and that he would not recognize the marriage. That's my opinion based on the scriptures, on Matthew, on, what Jesus talks about divorce. Because you're committing adultery, number one, by even going and stepping out on the marriage. Then your wife divorces you because you break that covenant. It doesn't give you the right to say, okay, now I'm free and I can do it again. I mean, you broke your vow. You broke your covenant. So you have to give an account to God for that. Now, the only time that I personally believe that there's some grace involved, and again, this is my opinion, my interpretation. The Bible is not absolutely clear on this, but I believe that if you did this in ignorance and you were not a Christian, and now you come to the faith, that God looks at it and says, okay, let's look at where you are in life now. But if you're a Christian and you go out and do this, I believe you're totally, totally accountable for what God, for what you, the breaking that vow.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this then. If we look at that, and we look at 1 Corinthians 7:1, it says, now concerning these things of which I wrote unto you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, for sexual immorality, each man have his own wife.
Absolutely.
Let the husband render to his wife affectionate. I'm sorry, that's not the...
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about 1 Corinthians 7. Later on in the chapter, he says that a husband must not divorce his wife and the wife must not leave her husband. All right?
Right.
Well, well, here's the thing. Absolutely. But there's no... That's for no cause at all. So I always go to that passage when someone's abusive. Like, let's say your wife was an alcoholic and she's just a horrible wife. I mean, she's just, you know, she's not unfaithful, but she's just horrible. And you take a look back and you say, man, this is like hell on earth. It's better for me to separate and not be with my wife than for me to be with her because it's just too hard in my Christian walk. It's too much. I got to separate. That scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, says you shouldn't separate, but if you have to, then understand you got to be by yourself for the rest of your life unless you reconcile with your spouse.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you say that, then you have to automatically say if a person divorced.
No, I don't.
For that same reason, wouldn't they still have to be?
No, and this is what I was telling you before.
They reconcile, be by themselves.
I understand.
In the sight of God.
Yes, but listen to this.
Then if he's talking about
Can I speak? Because you're asking the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matthew 5:32 says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim of adultery. Anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So again, except for sexual immorality. So your wife, you divorce her for any reason, then yes, you're not free to marry. But you divorce her because she was sexually immoral. That's what I believe that scripture says in Matthew 5. So,
well, what about 39? It says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives.
Absolutely.
But if her husband dies, she is liberty to marry to whom she wishes.
Absolutely.
Only in the Lord.
So absolutely.
Paul is still breaking that down. He's letting people know in the sight of reconciliation, yes. But in the sense of if you by yourself in Matthew 5:39, Matthew takes it back to the beginning. He said, yes, it wasn't so in the beginning, but he gave it to them as Moses.
Because their hearts were hard. Because their hearts were hard.
So we know that what he's talking about from Matthew, that they did that because the hardness of their hearts.
Absolutely.
Now you bring it back in what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking that. He's talking about reconciliation. And then at the end of Matthew, if you look back, then he's talking about...
They're different.
The disciples said, well...
They're different. It's not the same.
To even marry.
Exactly. And Paul's attitude was, it's better not to marry. But it also says it's better to marry than to burn with passion. I think what you got to look at, Mark, is number one, the Bible is not absolutely clear. And this is what I mean. What if some people really messed up in their life? They were young. They were stupid. They got married. They blew it. They ended up divorced. 20 years later, they're Christians now, and they realize they both moved on with their lives. What do they do?
Well, if we look at in the context what Paul is talking about here, we would still have to apply these scriptures.
I hear you. Listen, Mark, I'm going to have to continue because we got people on the line. But here's the thing. You bring an interesting point. It could be absolutely debatable. One thing I would tell you, if that's what your conscience tells you, absolutely go to it. If that's what you believe the scriptures say. All right.
Listen, I'll leave you with this point then. The Bible says, and I believe this And Proverbs says every word of God is pure.
Absolutely.
So we have to hold, look at these scriptures and believe in them.
I believe
in
them.
And know that this
Absolutely.
Is what God said is true.
Absolutely.
When Paul talks about this, it's not a yes, it's not a wavering. It's looking at it that we are to obey.
Absolutely.
Does everybody
Mark,
obey?
I hear you.
Absolutely not. But that's why I
got
said
you.
In the sight of God.
I hear you, Mark, and thank you. We're going to have to cut you off and continue. When you read that scripture, and this is for everyone that's listening, 1 Corinthians 7 is an awesome scripture, and I want to say this for the record. We do not condone divorce, but we cannot go beyond what the scriptures say and ignore something like Matthew 5 that talks about divorcing because of sexual immorality, infidelity. So, again, is the heart to reconcile? Absolutely. But 1 Corinthians 7, when you go back to that passage, you want to make sure you understand that there are things that the Bible, Paul himself says very clearly that this is what God says, and there are other things that he says that it's just his opinion. So we just want to make sure we keep our opinions as opinions, and I want to make sure that I'm careful to not give any advice that's my opinion without you knowing, hey, this is what I think, and this is absolutely what the Bible says. So let's continue on here. I believe we have another caller from Jersey.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, we are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Feel free to give us a call in the open forum today at 855-454-5905. We have Carol calling in from New Jersey. Carol, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carol. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. What is your comment or question for us today?
Hi, Marcos. I enjoy listening to your program. I would just like to comment about the gentleman whose wife seems like she doesn't want to be sexually involved with him anymore.
You're talking about Hezekiah when he mentioned his wife is no longer attracted to him, right?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, that's fine. No problem. So what is your, you have a comment for him or a comment regarding what he said?
I just have a comment for him.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a different issue that could be, you know, the bottom line. Sometimes you have to look deeper. Maybe if you're not attractive, if she's not attractive to him again, especially after the honeymoon, maybe she's attracted to her same sex, or maybe it's another person involved. So, you know, it could be a deeper issue sometimes.
Absolutely.
What's on the surface.
Well, it's a deeper issue for sure. We just don't know what that is, right?
Right. Yeah,
I mean, it can be hormonal. Can be, and this is something you might know, I'm sure, Carol, for women in general, if they don't feel good about themselves, it can affect, like, hey, if I don't feel confident with myself, then it's almost like this shyness or this kind of, you know, feeling like, hey, I don't want you to come close. It's unfortunate, but that's, and most men just don't care. They're like, yeah, I love you anyway. Yeah, you'd probably put up a few pounds, put on a few pounds, but I love you anyway. But it's the women's insecurity. So we don't know, right? We could only assume. But what would your advice be to him? Because it's obvious, I mean, from what he shared, she wants to work it out. I think one of our previous callers also mentioned, it's like if she wanted out, she would have been out when he was unfaithful. But she wants to work it out, but obviously something else is wrong. What would you encourage, you know, our brother Hezekiah to do? From a female perspective.
Well, now just speaking for myself, as a child, I was sexually abused. I wasn't like raped, but I was sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I had problems being intimate with, you know, even as after I got married, you know, with my husband. But after a while, I guess, you know, it worked itself out. So the counseling is good, I believe, that they go to counseling together.
Mm-hmm.
And as for Hezekiah, I just hope he can hang in there, and maybe him and his wife, when they go to therapy, they just really kind of get to the bottom of it. And, you know, like another caller said, just pray together, you know.
Absolutely.
Just pray together and be open, if she can really be open and let him know exactly what's going on. And maybe if he just kind of try to talk to her about not approaching her to have sex, but just have a conversation and just sit down and just
Absolutely.
Really be honest with each other, you know, and just, you know, they both go to the Lord and, you know, and pray about it and talk about it, and maybe some things could come out that's really deep down inside of her that's hidden.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we all agree there's something deeper and there's not a clear solution. Carol, thank you so much for opening up, because you're right. I mean, there are situations from the past that come back, you know, to haunt us later. And even though they're, like in your case, it wasn't your fault. I mean, you were sexually abused as a child, and you know, as you grew up, but it affected you. But something you said is really important, and people got to remember that when you get married, you say for better or for worse.
Right.
And it sounds like the greatest advice we can give Hezekiah is he's going to have to really be patient and trust in the Lord.
Right.
And he's going to have to figure out if his wife loves him and she wants to work it out, then they have to look at it as something they got to work together. And I think you're right. The counseling helps. But I also think time and patience. It sounded like him stepping out of his marriage was just totally out of impatience and wanting to get his needs met, and it only made matters worse.
Right, but I think she should accept some of that responsibility as well.
Absolutely. It is her fault, too. But at the end of the day, right, he has to give an account for God. He can't say, well, it's because my wife wouldn't give me sex.
Back,
I mean,
if, back to Adam and Eve in the garden, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can't, if the woman gave it to me, it's like, no, you opened your mouth and ate it, you know? So
right.
I think it's the same. But it does take two. And
yeah.
The devil is real. And I tell you this much, he sounds like a guy that's really trying to work things out with his wife. And it's unfortunate how the devil has gotten in there and he doesn't even feel that love just, you know, kind of given back from his wife. So we just got to pray. We got to, you know, encourage couples that way. But again, Carol, thank you for sharing even your deep situations that I believe can help others to heal.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Amen. God bless. God bless you, too. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
We have Marilyn calling in now from Pennsylvania on line two. Let's speak with Marilyn calling in on line two. Good morning, Marilyn. You're live on the air.
Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I listen to you every morning. It's so exciting to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So you wanted to mention something, I believe, Marilyn, right, about what the men have to address in terms of the needs of the woman? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Max, I listen to you all the time, and boy, do you get under my skin for one reason. You keep on talking about a man's need, fulfill a man's need. For a man to receive his need from a female, mm-hmm. he needs to give her what she needs.
Okay.
I don't know why we don't address that.
Okay, so what are her needs? Because
Our major needs is emotional needs.
Okay.
We women, we want intimacy, and we want time.
But isn't that what I said, Marilyn, that when women say they want intimacy, men automatically think about sex, but she is referring to something else?
So that's exactly, I am so glad you said that. I need you to expand that one day, have a show on what women really need, because men don't get it, including my husband, if you can hear me.
Yeah, so your husband, all right, so let me ask you a question. If you give a typical situation, right, I mean, it's pretty easy to know that maybe in your case as well, that the men a lot of times, they feel loved. When you give them sex, I mean, they feel satisfied. But for you, it's a lot more than that. So when you say emotional needs, how would you describe your emotional need?
An example is that sometimes we women don't want to be intimate. And okay, we know we're the only ones that can give it to our husbands. Then we give it to our husbands. You're done with it. It continues on with us.
Mm.
It's the way you talk, is the way you approach things. You can get mad over a game, and they just drop you like, oh, my God.
I know.
It's so bad that you just don't even want to think. You just want to hold it. Like,
you want to use it as a weapon. You want to use it as a weapon, and that's obviously not right. But, you know, I think what you're saying is so key. There are different phases or, different stages of a sexual relationship. I mean, you know, it starts early on and you get to the arousal stage and you get, to plateau. But one thing that people forget is that very last stage where you're restoring, right? You're recouping. And that's the time when it's the perfect time to connect. Not just because sex is over. It's like, all right, I'm ready. I'm done. Now I'm going to turn on the television. It's like, hey, let's talk. Let's connect. How you doing? And I think what you're saying, Marilyn, and I don't disagree with you at all, is that there are a lot of women who have their emotional needs unmet, and they're hurting, and they want is to be connected.
I don't know how to relate it to my husband because he doesn't get it at all.
He doesn't, and a lot of us don't get it, Marilyn. I wish I could tell you that I get it all the time with my wife. I really have to make sure that I schedule time to listen to my wife.
Yes,
and
from the minute you come through the door, that's how we women are just made. It's not
mm-hmm.
intentional to want to shut down.
No.
An example is that nowhere in the Bible did the Lord ask a woman to love her husband. It says it over and over, and I think it's more of what we are. that the Lord gave us, we women, it's very easy to love. For men, I think it's a very difficult. They want respect, but it's very difficult for them to love because love takes time.
It does say that the wife must respect her husband, though, right? Meaning that that's how he's going to communicate love.
That when somebody, respect is, I understand where you're coming from. It's a big thing. It's difficult to respect someone that doesn't respect you. You understand what I mean?
And it's very difficult to love someone that doesn't respect you. And that's when you get in that cycle. So I think what you got to make sure, and this is the challenge in marriage, Marilyn, is that it's not always fair. And so, like you said, it's difficult to respect them, but you still got to respect them.
Yeah.
And that's what God called. But you know what? Great idea. I think I will keep that in mind, and we would do a future show about the women's needs.
God bless you. I love that's you. Awesome. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. We really appreciate it.
You have a blessed day. Have a nice holiday, too.
You too. You too. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, Tiffany.
Bye-bye. All right, we need you to stay right there. We're going to take a break. We have to go to a break, but we still have the phone lines open and available to you. It's an open forum today, so we welcome your phone calls at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues.
Don't touch that dial.
After this.